Thanks so much for tuning in to the Moonee Ponds Baptist Church podcast. Here we upload our weekly teachings that happen every Sunday at our 10 a.m. service. If we can help you in any way, feel free to reach out to us and check out our website at mpbc.org.au.
Reading this morning is from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The second reading is from John 10, 1 to 15. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Who enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks, and the flock are shattered. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for his sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you do care for us, that you've always cared for us, that you go on caring for us, and that the proof of your caring is through the coming in Jesus to us. Lord, I pray that you would minister to us this morning, that we might go from this place knowing just how much you care for us. That we might not just know that intellectually, or because we read it in the Bible, or because someone told us, but we might know that deep, deep within us today, and that might impact us in how we live, how we go about the week, and how we encounter the things in our lives. Lord, I pray that you'd minister to us by your Spirit this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Well, when I was growing up, which seems like a long time ago, when I was growing up, my parents were really quite interested in who I spent time with. And they wanted me to have good influences, they told me, and good role models. And my mum wouldn't let me watch certain educational television programs, like World Championship Wrestling, because she didn't think that they were influencing my education in the right direction. Fortunately for me, though, I had a friend, Ivan Strasnicki, and his parents actually saw the benefits, the educational benefits for 10-year-old boys in actually seeing Mario Milano jumping off the top rope in the wrestling ring. But jokes aside, we've all looked up to leaders and been influenced in one way or another by different people. I remember a strong influence growing up was when we went to the movies was the Marlboro Man. Remember the Marlboro Man? He was a sort of rugged individual, you know, out there on the plains of Northern America. And through him, marketers tried to show us that it was the rugged individuals who smoked these Marlboro cigarettes. We all know what happened to him. He didn't die very well. But they didn't show us that. But for many of us, the people who led and influenced us have also, in our own lives, they've been celebrities, they've been sporting figures, personalities who have subconsciously, who we've subconsciously wanted to follow or to copy and emulate. I'm sure that every one of you can cite a piece of clothing that you have bought because you've been influenced by some musician or some personality you've seen. It may be flared jeans, yeah, after seeing Mick Jagger in them. It might have been, yes, those tartan trousers. Can you imagine tartan trousers? But that's what the Bay City Rollers wore, and that's what we all wore back then. That's what my sister wore anyway. And the long wavy hair of the Bee Gees. Yep. If you didn't copy fashion, then it might be a diet that you've copied or that someone you saw, talking about, or a lifestyle habit of someone that you've admired, or maybe even a car that Jeremy Clarkson from Top Gear spoke about. Could even be a Land Rover. You might remember your dedication to getting those things in the past with some amusement. You might think, oh, well, that's in the past. You know, I'm a lot more mature. I've gone past that stage. I'm over it now. I'm over being led and influenced. And now I'm a unique person. I'm independent. I'm free thinking. And I'm free of the pull of any strong influence in my life. But the reality is that you are still being shaped and influenced and led, but not always in good or even neutral ways, and not even by people who have your well-being in mind or who actually care for you. Today, people are not led so much by celebrities and sporting personalities or even by the Marlboro Man, thankfully, but by social media influencers who influence what we buy, what we wear, what we think, what we do. Ask any teenager or young adult today and they'll tell you who they're following on Instagram, on TikTok, on YouTube. They'll tell you which influencers they are following. Influencers are people who, due to their beauty or their abilities in sport or in online gaming or cooking, Jamie Oliver, for instance, or their fame in some other area of life, who can actually, by their sheer weight of following, endorse a lifestyle, a product, a thought, a practice as things that other people should obtain or emulate. Social media influencers are the new leaders. They're the thought providers and influencers of our cultural moment. An endorsement by a well-known influencer can send sales through the roof and generate big money for the company, but also for the influencer. How much money? Lots of money, I can tell you that. It's been reported that Kylie Jenner from the Kardashian clan and the soccer legend Cristiano Ronaldo, who each have in excess of 200 million Instagram followers, can actually get about $1 million. They can earn $1 million from one post where they're promoting some sort of product. But don't think that it's just the gullible who are being influenced. We're all being influenced, and we're all being led in our thoughts and actions and our lifestyle choices and in our purchases. The question that we need to wrestle then today is not whether we're being led or influenced, but who do you allow to into these powerful positions? Who do you allow to into these powerful and life-shaping roles in your life? That's the question. I want to suggest to you that all of us need to be more aware of who is leading and influencing us and who we allow to have that sort of power in our life. The question of influence and leadership are actually central ideas in the third I Am statement of Jesus that we're looking at today, the I Am the Good Shepherd statement found in John 10. And once again, as with his other I Am statements, Jesus' designation of himself as a good shepherd is not just some sort of random claim that he makes on the spur of the moment. This statement is actually perfectly timed by Jesus. And it speaks directly to the situation that the people that he was with were actually experiencing and remembering. The setting of this I Am statement, the I Am the Good Shepherd statement, is actually another religious festival. We saw the others, didn't we? Before, they were linked to these special festivals, these periods in Israel's life, and Jesus was able to use those festivals to tell something about himself. And so this time, the festival that Jesus is actually speaking at is what is known as Hanukkah, or the Festival of Dedication. And it's called the Festival of Dedication because people are actually meeting together in Jerusalem in the middle of winter to remember certain of their leaders who had done things to help them in the past. And one of them was a leader who had regained control of the temple and rededicated it to the worship of Yahweh. But it wasn't just that they were remembering. You see, this idea in the festival of Hanukkah stretched back actually even further and was actually a bigger festival about other ideas. Hanukkah was also a festival in which the Israelites reflected on the quality of their leaders, particularly the leaders who hadn't cared for them. But it also looked ahead with expectancy and hope that God would provide a good shepherd who would really care and help them. And so the topic of good and bad shepherds, or leaders and influencers that we might use today, is important because the life of the individual and the life of a community like ours, in fact, even a community wider than ours, is affected by the thoughts and actions of the leader. And so we often use the term shepherd to talk about a pastor these days. But this isn't what people were thinking when they heard Jesus stand up and say, "I am the good shepherd." You see, in the Old Testament, the shepherds were the leaders of Israel, the nation, because they were the ones who made the decisions. They were the ones who influenced society for good or for bad. And so many of us are familiar with the psalm that Wendy read, Psalm 23. It was written by King David, and it's a beautiful psalm, and it highlights all of the qualities and activities that a good shepherd would have. But right from the get-go, we hear that for David, the good shepherd is actually the Lord God. In fact, the first verse says, who does he say is the good shepherd? He says, "The Lord. The Lord is my shepherd." And so then David goes on and states the benefits he experienced under the care and protection of this good shepherd. He says that he lacked nothing. He's provided for all of his needs. He's guided to places of safety and of rest. He, even in danger, he senses that God is protecting him. And he sees that God has weapons and tools to protect, care, and comfort and bless him. And so in terms of human leadership, None of Israel's leaders ever came close to living out that portrait of the Good Shepherd. You see, even David himself, who was considered one of Israel's good shepherds, best shepherds, failed to live up to them, didn't he? He's famously flawed and shows that he is not a good shepherd. He's not the good shepherd that he's describing because he doesn't act in the best interests of people consistently as a true and good shepherd should. Let me cite some evidence for that, okay? The treatment of Bathsheba, who he took against her will and slept with her, and then the placing of her husband at the front of the battle so that he would get killed to cover his sin. During this festival of Hanukkah, one of the main passages of scripture that was read out was actually Ezekiel 34. And so in this chapter, Ezekiel 34, Ezekiel actually criticizes Israel's shepherds. And he says he criticizes them for being self-centered and for tending to themselves rather than the people. And so Ezekiel then lists off the failings of Israel's shepherds, which show them to be the exact opposite, really, to the good shepherd that David outlines in Psalm 23. Bad shepherds kill the sheep. They eat the fat and clothe themselves with their wool and don't care or tend to the sheep's needs. They don't strengthen the weak. They don't heal the sick. They don't bind up the injured. They haven't gone to look for the lost or brought back those who have strayed. What they've done is rule with force and harshness. But it's not just Ezekiel who is upset by these shepherds. The failings of Israel's leaders and influencers are actually repeated in each generation. Remembering this, remembering that actually in each generation their leaders have actually failed them, their influencers have failed them, remembering that and reflecting on that is what this festival that Jesus is at is all about. But it wasn't just a depressing festival. That could be pretty depressing, couldn't it? Just remembering all their failures. There was also hope, you see, that one day God would provide a good shepherd for his people. But instead of the good shepherd being a regular king or a leader, Ezekiel actually tells us in that same chapter, chapter 34, that it would be God himself who comes and plays that role. In the same chapter in which Ezekiel describes all the characteristics and qualities of a bad shepherd, he then also states that it would be God who would come and be the good shepherd. I myself will tend my sheep, he says. This is God speaking through the prophet. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I'll bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice, says Ezekiel. You see, Jesus knows this scripture well. He knows the tradition of good and bad shepherds. He knows the qualities of a bad and good shepherd, and actually how at Hanukkah people remembered who they have followed and who they've been influenced by and how poorly their lives have gone under their influence and leadership. He also knows how about the promises and the prophecies and longings for God to be the good shepherd. And perhaps you also have that longing in your life today as well, that you've been let down, that you've seen the influences and leadership that you've experienced in life and they've been found wanting as well. But where do you put your trust and your hope? That's the question that we're dealing with this morning. Sheep, shepherds, sheep pens, shepherding, they're actually really common topics for Israel or in Israel at this time in which Jesus gets up. And this is why shepherd and being a shepherd or good shepherd is a good metaphor. And it spoke very strongly to those people about the very nature of God and about how Jesus saw himself and what he'd come to do. But I'm not sure if a good shepherd is actually a really easy concept for us to grasp today, is it? Because we all live in the city. And even if you don't live in the city and you have some sort of connection to a farm in Australia, then the sheep that Jesus is talking about and the sort of style of caring for sheep is nothing like it was back then or in that country or in that part of the world. It's really different. You see, in the first century, it was common for households, for every household to have a few sheep. And they would actually house them, not in a paddock, but actually at night they'd bring them into their home and have them in a part of the house to protect them. And then they'd send them out into the pasture in the daytime. And when there wasn't grass or feed around, they would actually then, when it was scarce, they would actually send them up into the high mountain valleys so that they could be fed. And it was actually a shepherd's job to lead sheep to where they could get the pasture and water from. And so while taking them to these areas, the shepherds were charged to protect the sheep and to lead them to those places. And guess what? Also, to lead them home again safely. Often those places were a long way from home where the green pasture was. And so this meant that they would have to stay up in those mountains, in those valleys for long periods of time. And at night, to protect the sheep, because there are actually wild animals that could attack them and kill them, they put these sheep into a pen. And these pens were well established in those valleys. They'd been used for decades and centuries by these shepherds. And what they were constructed by is they were constructed by like this stone wall about this high. And on top of these walls were these big briar thorn bushes all around, to prevent anything jumping over them. And in these sheep pens, there was only one door to it, which the shepherd used to lead his flock into and out of when they were going out in the morning. And then the shepherd would close that gate, either by putting more thorns and bracken in front of it, or he would himself lie in this gate at night across it, effectively as the gate, and nothing would go in or out without him knowing. The Middle Eastern shepherds were also known for their personal devotion to their sheep. I don't know how many Australian farmers are. I know they're devoted to their flock, but I don't know if they're devoted to individual sheep. But Middle Eastern farmers were known for talking to their sheep and for giving them names. They don't have an ear tag on them, and these sheep would also know their shepherd's voice. And it was well documented that Middle Eastern shepherds actually used their voice or a tune that they would play on a small flute or something to draw their sheep to follow them and to comfort them and things like that. In fact, the ability of sheep to distinguish their master's voice or the tune that he would play is actually well documented. During the Palestinian uprising in the late 1980s, the Israeli army decided to actually punish a particular village near Bethlehem for not paying their taxes. And so the commanding officer actually rounded up all the livestock of people from that village, their goats and their sheep, and he placed them all in a large barbed wire pen. And he wasn't going to release them until people paid their taxes. And so about a week into it, a woman approached him, the commander, and she begged him to release her flock. You see, the flock was just mingled with everyone's sheep and goats. And she argued that since her husband had died and, you know, she was actually very poor, and the animals were really her only source of income, and that he should have mercy on her and let her take her flock and go away with them. But the commander pointed to this pen containing all these animals and hundreds of them, and he said humorously that it was actually impossible for him for that to take place, because how could he locate and separate her animals from the rest? The woman then asked him, if he would be willing to let her take her animals, if she could identify them and separate them herself. He agreed, knowing full well probably that she wouldn't be able to do it. And so he commands a soldier to open a gate, and the woman's son then appears, and he produces this small reed flute, which he played. And he played this very simple, repetitive tune over and over again. And as he played it, soon sheep's heads began to pop up all over this pen, and as they heard the tune. And then he began to walk away from the pen, and as he walked away, 25 sheep followed him, and the rest stayed behind. You see, Jesus knew these facts about shepherds. He knew these facts about sheep, and this is why he is calling himself the Good Shepherd. He says that a good shepherd knows his sheep, and a sheep knows their shepherd. And the Pharisees who were listening to Jesus, they didn't pick up that Jesus was actually calling them the bad shepherds and the bad leaders and the bad influences, because these people didn't know their people's needs, and they didn't actually care for them. But Jesus was actually speaking directly to them about their role in society. And if you go back into an earlier chapter, into John chapter 9, you'll see that Jesus had actually just healed a blind man who had been blind from birth. But because Jesus had healed him on the Sabbath, the Pharisees had hounded the blind man and his parents and threatened to throw them out of the synagogue if they praised Jesus or praised God for that healing. And so Jesus was calling them bad shepherds. These Pharisees were continuing on the tradition of being bad leaders and bad influences, even in Jesus' day, yet they were calling people to follow them. You see, they didn't care for the blind man. They didn't care that he had been blind and that he had been living in darkness since birth. They only saw that Jesus was breaking a law. They were only concerned about their own standing in the community and their own ritual purity. And so this then shows one of the main differences between good and bad shepherds. Good shepherds care for their sheep. They know their sheep by name, and the sheep follow and trust them because they know the shepherd's voice. And most importantly, they know that he cares for them. He's the one who leads them to water and green pasture, and also leads them home safely again. He also goes to great lengths to protect his sheep by sleeping in the gate at night so that no wild animal will get inside. A good shepherd will fight as best as he can to defend his sheep. They won't sacrifice a weaker sheep for the sake of the strong, or throw a lamb to the wolves so that he and the other sheep can escape. But even the best earthly shepherds have their limits, don't they? But Jesus takes this idea of a good shepherd, as outlined in Psalm 23, and he actually takes it further. And then he applies it to himself. You see, he says that he is the good shepherd, because he won't just lead and care for the sheep. He won't just lie at the gate and protect his sheep, or beat away the wild animals or bandits when they come. This is actually the job of a shepherd. That's to be expected. Jesus says that he is a true good shepherd promised by God to Ezekiel, because he will actually lay down his life for the sheep. You see, this is the real quality of the true good shepherd. He cares so much about his sheep that he's willing to die so that they'll actually live. This is what Jesus says he will do. In John 10:11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." We miss the impact of what he's saying here in English. Jesus is not saying that he will die as a result of fighting wild animals or bandits. What he's saying is he's saying that he will die for the sheep. And why does Jesus do this? Because of love. Paul says plainly in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul goes on to explain the depth of Jesus' commitment to us in Ephesians 5:25 when he says, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Friends, the message of Scripture is that the desert is a dangerous place for sheep, and therefore to survive and flourish, sheep need a shepherd. And so the same applies to people today. We need a shepherd to flourish in life and to survive. But it's not just about having any shepherd. It's not about having any leader or any influencer. You need someone who is actually really committed to you and to your well-being. You need someone who understands your needs and who cares for you, who cares for you more than their own life, and who actually is willing to die for you. We don't live on the edge of the Judean desert with all the hardships that brings. But each of us needs to recognize the perilous environment in which we live and our need for guidance, for care, for protection in order to flourish. Today, there are many voices calling us to follow them. Many of these are attractive, loud, compelling voices. But friends, you need to know one thing. Those voices that are calling loud and strongly don't care for you or give you peace and protection as you need. The question that we need to ask ourselves today is, whose voice am I really listening to? Which shepherds and influencers am I really following? In a recent study of secondary students were asked who they would turn to first in times of tension, confusion, and crisis. Fathers ranked number 25 on the list. Mums came in at number 11. Music and personal friends scored the highest ranking at the top. But they're not always the best guides for people in life, are they? Just watch Seinfeld or the TV sitcom Friends and see what happens to those people's lives as they listen to each other and follow each other's advice. Friends, who are you listening to? Who is leading you today? Who is shaping, who or what is shaping your thought patterns, your lifestyle, your opinions, and your hopes today? Often we worry about the kids, don't we? Oh, don't let them watch World Championship Wrestling. The next thing you know, they'll be throwing themselves off the table at school on top of people. Ha! They could get hurt. But I want to suggest that many of us here today, we're also listening to false voices, following bad shepherds, listening to bad influences as well. It's not just the kids. What do we fill our minds with? If you listened to the news this week, then you wouldn't have missed the release of Prince Harry's book, Spare. I feel embarrassed for him and for the rest of his family. But he says that he has been listening to a psychic in order to find his way through a tragic loss, the tragic loss of his mum. Is she a good shepherd, this psychic who cares for him? Is she a good guide for him to follow through life? We heard also this week about an Australian premier who admitted wearing a Nazi costume at his 21st birthday, and we think, what was he thinking? Well, the fact is he wasn't thinking. But neither have we at different times in our life either. And we do the same sorts of things because we're following the crowd. The fact is that when people are in crisis, when surrounded by the dangers of the desert, people will turn to any shepherd offering a way out. Unfortunately, there are no simple solutions when in the desert of life. But one thing we can do is to learn to discern between good and bad shepherds and whom to follow. In order to flourish in this life and in the next, you need to learn which voices to listen to and which to reject, and learn who you allow to influence you and who you need to unfollow. One of the best guides for discernment is to ask this very simple question: who benefits from you being shepherded, led, or influenced by this person? Who benefits? In the case of bad shepherds, it only ends up benefiting the shepherd or the leader or the influencer. Allowing yourself to be led and shaped and influenced without question by them into their philosophies, their lifestyles, their patterns of thought won't lead to your flourishing, because your leader or your influencer is flawed and ultimately challenged by their own self-interest. But the good news is that Jesus is the good shepherd who does want to lead you and does want to influence you, but only for your benefit, not his. You see, Jesus declares, "I'm the good shepherd. I'm the leader, the influencer, the guide, the protector that you need, because I really care for you." You see, Jesus is not out for what he can get for himself. He's not out for what he can get from you by you following him. It's not about power or profit for him. It's not about the number of followers. It's about you flourishing in this life and the next. We can see Jesus' concern and care for people in ministry in many chapters in the Bible, but in Matthew's gospel, after many months of ministry, we read that he had met many thousands of people, probably, and had actually healed many people of diseases. And he's once again confronted by another crowd. But when he sees them, what does he think? He doesn't think, what's in it for me? Should I bother? What's in it for me? He doesn't think that at all. No, Matthew says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Friends, who are you allowing to guide you, influence you, lead you in life today? Are they people on Facebook, people on Instagram or YouTube? Are they shock jocks on the radio spouting off their views of life that they want you to adopt? Are you being influenced by sporting stars, movie stars, people who read the stars, gurus? You know who they are for yourself. These are people that we listen to, but will following them really enable you to flourish? Because like you and me, all of those people are flawed. Friends, as I was preparing for this message this week, one of the things that really struck me about the Good Shepherd is just how caring and selfless and good Jesus is. It just really struck me. And these are the very characteristics and nature of God himself. These are, if you have any doubts, perhaps you've come here with doubts this morning about the goodness of God. Is God really good? Then the selfless nature of Jesus, God in human flesh, who came to be our shepherd and lay down his life for you, should dispel those thoughts. There's a beautiful prophecy in Isaiah 42, you see. Isaiah says, "Here is my servant." He's prophesying about the servant who will come, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. And then it goes on, he says, "A bruised reed he will not break, a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope." You see, maybe this morning you feel like a bruised reed. Maybe you feel like a smouldering wick, that you're just almost, not quite, but you just don't quite have the strength. And you don't know where to look. You don't know where to get hope from. I'm the good shepherd, Jesus says. I am the one. I'm the servant. Jesus is the one person in history who does care for you and can be trusted. And the proof of his goodness and his worthiness of being followed is that he willingly laid down his life so that you and I could live. Friends, I want to encourage you to open your hearts to him today. Listen to his voice and then follow him where he guides and leads you. He can be trusted. His voice you need to listen to. Finally, we need to see that Jesus' compassion in seeing the crowd as like sheep without a shepherd didn't leave Jesus also in despair. You see, Jesus knew where he was going and what he would do. He was heading to the cross because he knew that ultimately that was actually how he would bring healing. In Matthew 9, 36 and 37, it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. But then he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. You see, Jesus is the good shepherd. And our role as a community of Jesus followers is to pray and ask God to equip and send more people into our community and into the wider world to share this great news with them. And the great news is that there is a good shepherd, isn't it? There is actually someone who really cares. That's what the world's wondering. That's probably what you're wondering this morning. Is there someone who really cares? And the Bible is telling us there is. It's Jesus. There's someone who can lead and guide people to flourishing and even lead them through their moments of terror in life and in the desert places of their life. Friends, what's your response today to Jesus telling you that he is the good shepherd? What is it? As the band comes up to play our final song and lead us into that worship, I believe that our response should be to hearing that Jesus is the good shepherd this morning, your good shepherd. It should lead us to wonder and to praise and to worship, but also to giving prayers of thanksgiving and also to giving prayers of petition. And also, it should lead us to asking God to help us actually be those people who are actually sent out into the world, advocates who actually are pointing to Jesus as the Good Shepherd, pointing to him as the one who can really care for them, to people who are bruised reeds and smouldering wicks, because he's the one that we can trust with our lives. Friends, I want to encourage you to enter into the worship and reflect on this in our final song this morning. Allow yourself to be caught up in it. Maybe take some time to talk to Jesus, to tell him that you want to accept him as your shepherd. You need him as your shepherd. I want you to do that this morning. Thanks, Perry.